Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study is in the book of Joshua. And today we are on lesson 3 in the book of Joshua. And this lesson includes chapters 6, 7, and 8. So we will start our study today with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for another opportunity that you give us, Father, to study your word and to learn of you. I pray, Father, that each one listening today will be blessed. Father, we need you to teach us your word through the Holy Spirit. So we just look now to learn more of you, that we may glorify your name and be obedient to your word. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. Okay, today we want to look back at the previous chapters that we have studied to bring us up to where the story of Joshua is in our study today, in starting with the 6th verse. So we will look at Joshua 1. First of all, we find Joshua is being told by the Lord to be strong and courageous. And in this chapter, as the Lord told him that he wouldn't fail or forsake him, and that no one was going to be able to stand against him all the days of his life. So Joshua was to obey the law to succeed then in giving God's people their land. And then in Joshua chapter 2, we learn that Joshua sent spies to Jericho. And also we learn the story about Rahab and how that she hid the spies, and they made a vow to her because of her taking care of them. And then we go to Joshua chapter 3. And here in chapter 3, we learned that Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land. And in this, we learn that he had led the people out of Egypt, and he dried up the Nile River at that time. And now we see again the great miracle of God as he dries up the Jordan River for Israel to cross into the Canaan land. And now, looking at Joshua chapter 4, we see that the people of Israel were told to place memorial stones at Gilgal. So here, as they crossed over on the 10th day of the first month, Israel entered the land and they camped at Gilgal. And then we learned in Joshua chapter 5 that Joshua had told the people that they were to be circumcised. And also we learned in that chapter of the celebration of the Passover. And at that time in chapter 5, at the close of chapter 5, we saw where the captain or the commander of the Lord's host, he appeared to Joshua and he told him that he was standing on holy ground. So let's go forward now in this study and see the great hand of God and how that he is moving in the lives of Israel, his chosen people, and how that he is using this man, Joshua, to lead the people. So as you studied the chapter of Joshua, what was the theme that you found? And when you highlighted the key words in the sixth chapter, there were many key words. And if you highlighted those, it helped you to get the theme of that chapter. And some of the key words was Jericho, Israel, Joshua, the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, trumpets, priest. And we saw the word seven used, seven priests, seven trumpets, seven times. And also the word ban was used. So taking all of these key words, then we know that something took place in this chapter. And as we look back at the chapters we just finished, God had promised or told the people that he was giving them the land and that he was going to conquer their enemies. And in doing this, their first place to conquer was Jericho. So the theme of chapter 6 will be Joshua destroyed Jericho and spared Rahab. And let's look then at the first 5 verses and see what is taking place now that they have crossed over. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. And then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead." Now, what are these verses in are saying? How does it begin? First, we see that Jericho was tightly shut. And the reason for that was that they feared Israel. No one went in or came out. And Rahab was not the only one who had heard that what the Lord had done. All these people had heard about the Lord and how that he had helped Israel overcome as they made their journey. And Rahab was the only one then that sought refuge in God himself, believing in him. She come to believe him, and we saw that in this chapter. And the Lord told Joshua exactly what to do. So here we see in these first 5 verses that the armed men were to go before 7 priests and 7 trumpets preceding the Ark of the Covenant, followed by a rear guard. Now all of Israel's men of war were to participate, and they were going to circle Jericho a day, once a day, for 6 days. And then they were to be in silence except for the trumpets. And on the 7th day, they were told to circle the city 7 times, and to shout when the trumpets were blown. So what would happen when they shouted? And the word tells us that the Lord told Joshua that the walls of Jericho would fall down so that the men of Israel could go into the city. Now, reading further in verses 6 through 11, let's see what these verses are about. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And then he said to the people, "Go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the Ark of the Lord." And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard came after the Ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout, then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once, and then they came to the camp and spent the night in the camp. Now, let's look at these verses and see what is taking place. Joshua told the priests and the people what the Lord had told him. And he said, the priests are to carry the ark. And then seven other priests were to carry seven ram's horn trumpets and blow them. And then all the priests were in the middle of the 600,000 men of war. And they did all that the Lord had told them to do on that first day. Now, look at verse 12 and 14. Now, Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus, the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. So, in these verses, we see that they did what the Lord had said on the second through sixth day, the second through the 6 days. Now, continuing in verse 15 through 21, let's see what takes place next. Then on the seventh day, they rose early in the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they marched around the city 7 times. At the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them, and take some of the things under the ban, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Now, what are we seeing that's happening on the seventh day? They marched around the city just like God had told them seven times. And then in verses 16 through 19, we see where Joshua told the people that the city was under the ban. And being under the ban, if you look that word up in the Hebrew, it means devoted to destruction. It's already been told by God that he was going to destroy Jericho. And so this is what he is saying. All of these things that are there in Jericho, they're under the destruction of God. And everything in it belonged to the Lord. And they couldn't take anything for themselves. And he went on to say that only the silver and the gold, the bronze and the iron were holy and to be put into God's treasure. So, looking back at the word ban again, in looking that up, the Greek word for ban is C-H-E-R-E-M, cherem. And it's something devoted unto divine service. A ban, a curse, extermination, a person or thing which has been marked for destruction, a net, an enticement. The essential meaning is forbidden or prohibited. It was an object which was surrendered, to God and to his service, or something declared for utter destruction. As I said earlier, Jericho was declared by God for utter destruction. If you look at some reference scriptures, you see in Deuteronomy 7th chapter 22nd through the 26th verse, Moses told Israel at that time not to take anything under the ban, or they would become like it. The context is destroying all in the cities, and they conquered in that land. So, but even back when Moses was leading them, they were told not to take anything under the ban that was due to destruction. And also in Deuteronomy 13, chapter 13, verses 12 through 18, we see God's anger would be against anyone taking things under the ban. And it was also to be destroyed. So this is what you're going to see as we go further into our study today about the things that God was saying they were not to take under the ban, or they would be destroyed themselves. So, looking now at chapter 6, verse 17, we see there was an exception made of something that wasn't to be destroyed. So what was this in Jericho that we've already studied prior? There was a promise made. And who was it made to? It was a pledge. And it was made, we know, to Rahab. The two spies had promised her, because of the protection that she had given them, that they would not destroy her and her family. And so now then, let's look at verses 20 and 21. The priests blew the trumpets, and the people shouted, and the wall of Jericho fell down flat, and Israel could enter the city. So they destroyed everything in it, as the Lord said. Now, look at verse 22 through 25. Joshua said to the two men who had spied in the land, "Go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out of there, as you have sworn to her." So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father, mother, her brothers, and all that she had. They also brought out all of her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and all that was in it, only the silver, gold, articles of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. So, however, it says that Rahab, the harlot, and her father's household, and all she had, Joshua spared. And she lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So here we see that Rahab and her family were saved. And then Israel's men of war burned Jericho. Now, the last two verses of chapter 6, verse 26, "Then Joshua made them take an oath at that time, saying, 'Cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn, he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of his youngest son, he shall set up its gates.' So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land." So this ends that sixth chapter, and we see that Joshua made the people to take an oath, and that anyone trying to rebuild Jericho would do so at the price of his firstborn and youngest sons. So it ends with a statement then about Joshua's fame being in all the land because the Lord was with him. Now let's go further into chapter 7. And let's read what this is about. If you again mark your key words, you find that the key words in this chapter is Israel, Lord, Joshua, Ai, sin, covenant, consecrate, under the ban, and Asian. So, in looking at your keywords, what then did you decide was the theme of chapter 7? Israel was defeated at Ai, / Achan took things under the ban. So we know then that whenever they went to war with the city of Ai, they were defeated. And the reason we learned in this chapter was because of what Achan, one of the Israelites, had done that was against the teaching of God. It was under the ban. So let's read this chapter so we'll have time to cover this chapter in chapter 8. Starting with verse 1, "But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribes of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel." So, verse 1 really gives us the theme of the entire chapter. God's anger burned against Israel because of what Achan did, because he took some things that were under the ban. So let's read further, verses 2 through 5. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." So the men went up and spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shibarim and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So in these verses, we see that Joshua, first of all, sent spies, and they reported that they'd be able to go in and take the land. And they only needed a small number, they said 2,000 or 3,000, for war. So that's what they did. They sent 3,000 men. So according to the map, if you look at your map here, that's in your appendix. According to the map, Ai was not as close to Israel's camp as Jericho had been. And so they went to Ai, where 36 of Israel's men were struck, and the rest fled. So their hearts were melted. And don't you know that they were saying in their mind, "Why? God has brought us this far, and now why is this happening to us?" Let's read, and we're going to see why in verses 6 through 15. "And then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. Joshua said, 'Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?' So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban, and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become a curse. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up. Consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. In the morning, then you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families, and the families which the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. It shall be that the one who has taken the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belong to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel." So, in these verses, what did Joshua do? He went to the Lord and he asked him, why? And then the answer God gave to him was that Israel had sinned. So they couldn't overcome their enemies until the sin was taken away. And that's true today. Whenever we are in sin, there's no way that we can overcome our enemies as long as we're living in sin. So this is what the Lord told Joshua here. He said, concentrate your people. The guilty were to be burned. That's exactly what he's saying, because you've got to concentrate. You've got to repent of your sins before I can continue to give you blessings. So Joshua, let's look at verse 16 through 21. Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near by tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah near, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites near man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household near man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, was taken. And then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they were concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it." So here we see, as Joshua goes through the Israelite tribes and families, the Lord showed him who was guilty, Achan. And Achan admitted his sin and told how it had come about. He saw the things, he coveted them, he took them, and he hid them. So, as you did your cross-reference on these verses, going back to Genesis, first of all, in chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. In these verses, Eve gave in to temptation because of what she saw, the same as Achan. And then she desired, she coveted the forbidden fruit, and then she took, just as Achan did. And then Adam and Eve made themselves clothing to hide, just as he hid these things that he had taken. So we're seeing all the way back to the beginning of God's word that evil started in the garden. And this is where that we and all mankind have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In 2 Samuel, if you read that as your cross-reference, the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, verses 1 through 6, and the 12th chapter of verses 9 through 12, again we see where someone sinned. Someone saw, and that man was David. He saw a beautiful woman, And then we read where he took another man's wife and committed adultery. And then we see that he tried to hide what he had done. So when sin enters into a person's life and the temptations come and a person doesn't overcome this, they see it and then they take it or they do what's wrong and then they try to hide it, they try to cover it up. So in God's Word, He teaches us that in the book of 1 John, the first chapter in the 9th verse, God tells us that if believers confess their sins, that God will cleanse and forgive. But let's go on and see what Achan's punishment was, verse 22 through 26. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in the tent with the silver underneath. They took them from inside the tent and brought them to Joshua, to all the sons of Israel, and they poured them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. So, what then do we see in these last verses that was Achan's punishment? See, there is a wrath for punishment for our sins. So, Achan and his family and all that belonged to him were stoned and they were burned. So, they knew what they had done wrong. And since they knew they had done it wrong, they tried to hide it. So, no one confessed until the Lord made it clear that he had sinned. So, Achan is remembered for being troubled or bringing trouble to the whole nation of Israel. So, this is a lesson even for us today that when we sin, then we bring trouble not only to ourselves, but also to others, because he brought trouble not only to himself, but his entire family had to suffer. So sin is not just for you, for what you do wrong, but you bring trouble for those that love you and for others that are involved. Now let's go on to Joshua chapter 8. And we're going to see what this chapter is about. The key words that we see in this chapter is Lord, Joshua, Ai, Jericho, Israel, Ark of the Covenant, Ambush, and King. So let's look at chapter 1 through verse 29. We're going to read a lot here, but we have a lot that we need to cover, and we can cover this after we read it. I think we can put it together in a summary, starting with verse 1 of chapter 8. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." So here in the very first verse, we get the theme of chapter 8. Joshua destroyed Ai. because that's what the Lord says in this first verse, that he is going to give Ai. They go back now because the sin has been taken care of. And so the theme of this chapter is Joshua destroyed Ai. Verse 2, you shall do to Ai and its king just as you did to Jericho and its king. You shall take only its spoil and its cattle as plunder for yourselves. Set an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose with all the people of war to go up to Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 men, valiant warriors, sent them out at night. And he commanded them, saying, see, you are going to ambush the city from behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. And then I and all the people who are with you will approach the city, and when they come out to meet us, at the first, we will flee before them. They will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city, for they will say they are fleeing before us as at the first, so we will flee before them. And you shall rise from your ambush and take possession of the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Then it will be when you have seized the city that you shall set the city on fire. You shall do it according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you. So Joshua sent them away, and they went to the place of ambush and remained between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua spent that night among the people. Now Joshua rose early in the morning and mustered the people, and he went up with the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. And then all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near and arrived in front of the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between him and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. So they stationed the people, all the army that was on the north side of the city and its rear guard on the west side of the city. And Joshua spent that night in the midst of the valley. It came about when the king of Ai saw it that the men of the city hurried and rose up early and went out to meet Israel in battle. He and all of his people at the appointed place before the desert place. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. So I'll pause here. And did you underline the word ambush? Because throughout this chapter, that's what it's about. It's about the plan that God gave Joshua, how to set up an ambush that they would be able to overcome these people at Ai. Continuing now, verse 15, Joshua and all Israel pretended to be beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people in the city were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. So not a man was left in Ai or Bethel who had not gone out after Israel. And they left the city unguarded and pursued Israel. And then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the javelin that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. So Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city. Now this is a key verse here because the Lord God at this point tells Joshua that he has already given the city into his hand. Going on now with verse 19, the men in ambush rose quickly from their place, and when he had stretched out his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it, and they quickly set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai turned back and looked, behold, the smoke of the city ascended to the sky, and they had no place to flee this way or that, for the people who had been fleeing to the wilderness turned against the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the men in ambush had captured the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and slew the men of Ai. The others came from the city and encountered them, so that they were trapped in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they slew them until no one was left of those who survived or escaped. But they took alive the king of Ai and brought him to Joshua. Now, when Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the field in the wilderness, where they pursued them, and all of them were fallen by the edge of the sword until they were destroyed, then all Israel returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. All who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not withdraw his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Israel took only the cattle and the spoil of that city as plunder for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation until this day. He hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening, and at sunset Joshua gave command, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the city gate and raised over it a heap of stones that stands to this day. So looking back now at these verses that we've read, which was a lot, but it's about the battle and how that God, the Lord God, told them, Joshua had to set up an ambush that they'd be able. So he gave them a battle strategy, and it was different from Jericho. We see how it's different when you study the ambush. And the Lord hadn't failed or forsaken Joshua. He was still standing by his side. So Jericho was defeated by a miraculous means. They could not have done this without the Lord. So it was an ambush built on Israel's previous retreat from the city. And the details were specified, if you noticed in this, by the Lord. He told them exactly what to do. And the captain or commander of the Lord's host of the army of the Lord was leading Joshua. You know, in the last chapter we saw how that he had come before Joshua, and here we see that he is leading Joshua. And when the men of Ai left the city in pursuit, the ones that were behind, they went in and took it. And so throughout this strategy, this ambush, they were able to overtake Ai just as the Lord had told them there in the beginning. So this time was a little different, because the last time they were not to take any spoil of the land. But this time we see that God allowed them to take some spoil from this battle. Now, reading on into this, we see in verse 30 and 31, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no man had welded or ironed to, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. So we're seeing that they have made an altar to the Lord to give praise to Him. And verses 32 through 35, he wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. All Israel with their elders and officers and judges were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The stranger as well as the native, half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given command at first to bless the people of Israel. Then afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings, the cursing, according to all that's written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living with them. So what is happening in these verses, we see that Joshua has built an altar here at Mount Ebal and offered burn offerings on its sacred and sacrifice peace offerings to the Lord. And he was commanded to do this in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27. And he also wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses. So, what we need to look at in all of this is what we have learned about God and what kind of example is this for us in our life today. I think the main point of this entire study is the fact that God is true to His Word. God never lies, that you can depend on Him no matter what you face, no matter how many challenges that you have, you can depend on God. That's what we want to see in this. And another thing that we want to see is our obedience to follow God, because through this, you see when disobedience comes, there has got to be judgment to come. So I pray that in this study that each of us will take this study and apply it to our lives and live it out to be an example of what a great and mighty God that we have. So we'll end our study today on this third lesson with prayer. Heavenly Father, how amazing You are. We can't begin to find the words, Father, to describe what an almighty and great, amazing God that You are. We're just so thankful for Your precious word, Father. To see these people that it was written down in Your word. They were people just like we are. They are our ancestors. And we see the lives that they lived and how that all of this is such an example for us to follow, Father. And we thank You and praise You for Your precious word. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit that makes it understandable for us to see You, who You are, to know You, Father. And I just pray that through all of our studies that we will come to know You more, Father. Not know about You, but to know You of who You are, Father. We just give You all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.